Praise God. Victory in Jesus Christ. Isn't that glorious? I got to tell you, I've got in my hands here a sermon that I prepared this week, 20 pages long, on the humanity of Christ. And I had full intentions of speaking on that subject tonight. To be honest, I thought we were only going to have 3 or 4 people here. I didn't think we were going to have more than that. But yesterday when I was thinking about this, I said, I'm not going to preach on this. I'm going to preach on this next week, so I'm going to give this back to my wife. I'm going to preach on something that I shared about 5 or 6 months ago on a Sunday night. And I think that it's important for us to be reminded of these principles in terms of how to deal with temptation in the Christian life. I really feel that it's important. I don't know why I felt moved this deeply to come back to this particular thought here tonight, but I do want to talk about that. And I want to be gracious to you as well. I mean, I got to tell you, I preached for almost 15 minutes this morning, and I said, these poor people are not going to want to come back. I had somebody come up to me this week and say, Pastor Jacques, one of the reasons why so-and-so is not coming to church is because you preach too long. And I understand the sentiment. I really do. I understand that some people don't like to hear long preaching. But I do thought, it's a holiday weekend. I don't want to keep you here till 8 o'clock tonight. So I'm going to share just a few thoughts from Proverbs. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No. Amen. 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 Well, let's just go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to speak this just from these. Some of you will remember these principles, but it's good to be reminded. Some of you will never heard them before, but I just want to share them with you again tonight. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless our time. Father, thank You and praise You so, so much that You are such an awesome God. We sang such a great hymn, O Victory in Jesus. And Father, we praise You that as believers, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We are no longer slaves to sin. But Lord, by Your divine grace, we are now slaves of righteousness, set free to be the men and the women that You've created us to be and redeemed us to be, and we praise You for that. Lord, thank You that the chain of sin has been broken in our lives, dear Father, and we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us to live the kind of life that pleases You. And Father, forgive us for listening to the devil's lies, the devil who tells us that we are still slaves to our sin, that we can't overcome. Father, Your word teaches us something entirely different. Jesus said, he that the Son sets free is free indeed. And we praise You for that, Father. We praise You, Lord. And I pray that You would take these thoughts. I pray that, Lord, You would again strengthen our hearts and strengthen our minds, that we would rejoice in the freedom and the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just pray that You'd bless this time. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, before we... If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 7, because I'm going to be looking at that passage of Scripture. And before we talk about these 6 principles, I do want to just share a few thoughts with you as by way of introduction in terms of the fact that all believers struggle with temptation. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, we all struggle with temptation. Someone has said that to be human is to be tempted, and be tempted is to be human, right? So let me ask you, how many of you here tonight don't struggle with temptation? We all do. Every single one of us. Keep your finger there in Proverbs 7. I just want you to go to James chapter 1 and listen to what James says there in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 13. I want to read down to verse 16. Or 15, I mean. James chapter 1, verse 13 to 15. And he says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. We get a great revelation there of the nature of God, right? It is impossible for God to be tempted. He cannot be tempted by sin. So the Bible says, and nor does God tempt anyone. Then James says, but each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. And so where does temptation come from? It comes from our own natures, doesn't it? The old sinful nature. If you go back to Romans chapter 7, that's exactly what Paul says. Just turn back there to Romans chapter 7 and listen to what Paul says in verse 14. He's talking here about, James is saying, each one of us is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. And Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verse 14, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. He says, I don't understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do, And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that there is nothing good that lives within me. That is in my sinful nature. And so that's why we struggle with temptation as Christians. We struggle with temptation because we have this sinful nature. And when God redeems us as His people, He doesn't eradicate the sinful nature. As long as we're going to be in this world and in the flesh, we're going to wrestle with sin and temptation. But the Bible teaches us that as believers, we have been set free. And I want you to go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, I want you to see this verse. And was actually, if you were, you should come to prayer meeting before the service on Sunday nights. You should really be there. It's a blessing. It's a time where we gather together to pray. And Anne, our sister, she was praying. She quoted this verse. Listen what Peter says. He says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness through these. He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And so what's the Bible saying here? God has given us the power we need to live the kind of life He has saved us to live. Just by the very fact that we are united to Christ, Paul says it like this in Romans chapter 6. He says, shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? He says, by no means. He says, we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? For all of you who are baptized into Christ, we're baptized into His death. When you trusted in Christ, the Holy Spirit of God baptized you into the body of Christ. And in that moment of time, you died to sin. You died to the power of sin in your life. You're united to Christ in His death and in salvation. Not only united to Christ in His death, but you're also united to Christ in His resurrection life. And so Paul says, how can you live in sin any longer? You died to sin. We're united to Him. That's what Peter's saying. He's saying the very same thing. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Listen to me. Temptation is real, but it is a lie to believe that we are slaves to sin. We are victors. God has given us everything we need to live the godly life that He has saved us to live. We can't use the excuse that I can't get over this thing. I've had people sitting in my office who've claimed to be believers and say, you know what? I just can't get rid of this in my life. That's because they're believing a lie. They're believing a lie. They don't understand who they are in Christ. And it's not until you understand who you are in Jesus Christ that you're going to be able to have the victory. I'm not saying that the temptation isn't real and fierce and strong and hard, and it's not going to require these six principles that I'm going to share with you tonight to be able to overcome. These are principles that God has given us in His Word that are going to set us free. They're great principles. It's still going to be a fight and a battle, but we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We've been united to Christ in His death and in His resurrection, so we can never use the excuse, I couldn't get over it, because God has given us His divine power. So let me share these six, go back to Proverbs 7, these six principles that will help you in your life to overcome the power of sin or the power of temptation when you're facing temptation. The first principle is this: consider the implicit and explicit implications and consequences of the temptation. When you're faced with temptation, you need to consider the consequences of yielding to that temptation. What is it going to cost you in your life if you say yes to this particular sin that you're being tempted with? And you see this in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 22 down to 27. We read this passage of Scripture, but listen to what happens. Well, let me start at verse 21. This young man is being tempted, and the Bible says in Proverbs 7, verse 21, with persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. He listened to her, didn't he? He listened to her. She led him astray by her smooth talk. And the Bible says, all at once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter. It looked so beautiful on the outside, but he didn't realize what the end result was going to be. He followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing that it will cost him his life. See, this young man did not consider the explicit and implicit consequences of yielding to the temptation. And so Solomon says in verse 24, now then, my sons, listen to me. It's almost like he's grabbing us by the scruff of the neck. Listen to what I'm going to say to you here. Pay attention to me. That's what God is saying. Actually, God is saying that, isn't he? He says, don't let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. Many are the victims that she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. And so the very first thing that you need to think about when you're facing temptation is this. If I yield to this temptation, what's it going to cost me in my life? It might look really good, but every one of Satan's apples got worms in it. It'll never bring true satisfaction. We talked about that with Naomi and Elimelech, didn't we, in Ruth chapter 1. They thought that life was going to be better if they left the promised land to go to Moab. They thought the grass was greener on the other side of the fence. And they went there, and what did they find? That it wasn't greener on the other side of the fence, was it? By the grace of God, they came back. So that's the very first principle. Consider what the consequences are. Number two, very important principle. Listen to this. Never expose yourself to a situation where you know you're going to be tempted. Did you hear that? Never expose yourself to a situation where you know you're going to be tempted. You see this in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 7 and 9. Look at it. The Bible says, I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men a youth who lacked judgment. This man did not say to wisdom, you are my sister. This man did not say to wisdom, you are my friend. This young man lacked judgment. And how do we know that he lacked judgment? You see it in verse 8. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along the direction of her house at twilight as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in. This young man was putting himself in harm's way. He was tempted to sin, right? And so what did he do? He waited till the sun went down when nobody would see him. He knew where she lived. He walked down the street near her house. He put himself in harm's way. Jesus said the very same thing. If you go to Matthew chapter 5, just go there, Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says the very same thing. We can't put ourselves in harm's way. We've got to avoid those situations in life that you know you're going to be tempted. It doesn't matter what kind of temptation you struggle with. If you know you struggle with a particular temptation in your life, don't put yourself in that situation where you're going to fall into sin. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, Jesus says, you've heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. He says, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. Did Jesus literally mean that? Take your eye out and take it. That's not the problem, is it? The problem's not your eye. Where's the problem? It's your heart and your mind, isn't it? Well, what Jesus is saying there is, whatever it is that's causing you to sin in your life, get it out of your life. Man, if it's a computer and you can't get away from that internet pornography, get rid of the computer. Get rid of the computer. If it's a relationship that you're involved in and you know it's not a right relationship and you're doing things that you shouldn't be doing, you need to get out of that relationship. That's exactly what the Scripture is teaching here. We need to avoid those things that will cause us to fall. Look at what Psalm 101 says. David, a Psalm of David, Psalm 101, verse 1 to 3. I love these first three verses of Psalm 101. Great verses. But listen to what David says. And this is why I love David so much. David was a man after God's own heart. Somebody asked this morning in Sunday school, what was it that made David a man after God's own heart? You know what made David a man after God's own heart? He was willing to do what God told him to do. Listen to what it says in Psalm 101, verse 1 to 3, a Psalm of David. He says, I will sing of your love and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing praise. I will be careful to lead a blameless life. When will you come to me? Now look at this. He says, I will walk in my house with blameless heart. I will set before my eyes no vile thing. David's talking about in the privacy of his own home, where nobody else sees him. He says this, he says, I will be careful to lead a blameless life. I will walk in my house with a blameless heart. I will set before my eyes no vile thing. What did David say? I'm going to keep myself out of harm's way. If I know where the temptation is, I'm going to run away from it. I'm going to flee from it. I'm not going to put it before my face, because if I put it before my face, I know like an ox, I will be led to the slaughter. Like a bird stepping into the noose, I'm going to be captured by this thing and it's going to lead me astray. It's going to lead me to do things that I know that I shouldn't be doing. So the second principle is never expose your life to a situation where you know you're going to be tempted. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. Just look at Proverbs chapter 4 for a second, because Solomon says the same thing there in Proverbs chapter 4. Let me start with verse 14. Let me just read verse 14 and 15. Proverbs chapter 4. It says, "Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way." What's the principle there? Stay away from sin. Don't go down the road. Don't set your foot on the path of the wicked. Look at verse 25. "Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet. Take only ways that are firm. Don't swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil." There's the principle, right? Principle number one, consider the implications or the consequences of yielding to the temptation. Principle number two, never expose yourself to a situation in your life where you know you're going to be led astray. No matter what the temptation is, don't put yourself in this situation. If you're an alcoholic, stay out of the bars. If you got problems with whatever it is, whatever the sin is, if you're a gossip and you know somebody else who loves to gossip, don't talk to that person. You're just going to start to gossip. Stay away from those things. Number three, when the temptation is strong, focus your attention on the Word of God. When the temptation is strong in your life, focus your attention on the Word of God. Look at Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1. I love these five verses. Proverbs 7, 1 to 5. These verses are so good. I mean, they're so healthy to the soul. Listen to what Solomon says. He says, "My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live." He says, "Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, 'You are my sister,' and call understanding your kinsman. They will keep you from the adulterers, from the wayward wife with her seductive thoughts." So how do you overcome temptation in your life? Bind the Word of God in your mind. Bind the Word of God in your heart. Love the Word of God. Say to God's Word, "You are my sister. You are my understanding. You are my kinsman." What did David say in Psalm 119? "I have hidden your Word in my heart that I may not sin against you." He says in Psalm 119, verse 9, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your Word." How did Jesus deal with his temptations when he was in the wilderness? When Satan came and tempted, what did Jesus do? He quoted Scripture. He says, "It is written, you shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." He says, "It is written, worship God alone." I mean, Jesus Christ quoted Scripture. He studied the Scriptures. He meditated on God's Word. As you meditate on God's Word, your mind is being transformed. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. You know, we live in a world that is so full of sin, it doesn't matter where you turn. You can watch the best TV show on TV and you get to a commercial and it's absolutely horrible. Isn't it? So every day our mind is being bombarded with sinful things. And it's so easy to allow those sinful thoughts to rule your heart. But the Bible says, listen, you need to renew your mind. You need to clean your mind. You take a shower. I hope everybody here takes a shower every day. I take a shower every day. I take two on Sunday because I get so sweaty on Sunday morning. I need to take another one before I come back. You know, your mind needs to take a shower, my friends. Your mind needs to take a shower in the waters of God's Word. And if you're not studying the Word of God, if God's Word is not permeating your thoughts, you will live a sinful life. You will not live a holy life. You need to hide God's Word in your mind. Hide God's Word in your heart. Meditate on Scripture. That is, you know, passive resistance is never sufficient when you're faced with temptation. We're struggling against an enemy called the devil. We're struggling with an enemy outside the devil. We're struggling with an enemy on the inside, which is the flesh. We're struggling with the enemy of the world. We're struggling with all these enemies. And what does Paul say in Ephesians chapter 6? He says we're to take up the armor of God. And you know what part of that armor is? It's the sword of the Spirit. It is the sword of the Spirit. And the sword of the Spirit is both an offensive weapon and a defensive weapon. And this sword of the Spirit can give you the grace when you're faced with temptation to be able to overcome that temptation. So what's the first principle? The first principle is this: consider the consequences of yielding. The second principle is this: stay away from those things in your life that you know will lead you astray. Avoid them. Don't set your foot on that path. Principle number three: when you're faced with temptation, you're really struggling, focus your attention on God's Word. Pick up the Bible and start reading it. You know what? I got to tell you, when I read the Bible, I don't read it sitting down. I just can't. I read the Bible, I stand up and I got to walk back and forth and I read it out loud and I preach to myself when I read it. I'll read it just like this. Proverbs chapter 7. I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who lacked judgment. That's right, Lord. A youth who lacked judgment. And I'll stop there and I'll think about what that means. And I'll go on, I'll say, he was going down the street near her corner, walking along the direction of her house. That's why, Lord, keep me away from sin. Keep me away. And I'll take this word and I'll think of it like that. I'll read it that way. I read it out loud and I preach to myself as I read the scriptures, teaching myself what God's word is saying. Principle number 4, call on the Lord and acknowledge His presence and His power is with you in the midst of the temptation. I want you to go to Matthew 26 for a second. Just go to Matthew 26. I'm almost done here. I'm going to be done in, believe it or not, the next 5 or 6 minutes. Matthew 26. Let me just go there. A picture of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know this passage of Scripture, one of my favorites. Look at Matthew 26, verse 36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. What was Jesus asking him to do? He was asking him to pray with them. That's what he was asking. Peter, James, and John, listen, my soul is overwhelmed. He said, would you stay with me? Would you keep watch with me? Keeping watch means, would you pray for me? So Jesus was asking them. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken away from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them what? He found them sleeping. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, could you not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. What's the key there? You want to live in victory over temptation, you better have a good prayer life. You better have a good prayer life. You don't have a good prayer life. If you have a weak prayer life, you're going to have a weak way of trying to overcome temptation. You need to be abiding in the presence of Christ. David says it like this. He says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, if you read through the Gospels, you will see that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had intimate communion with His Father time and time and time and time again. He prayed. Christ prayed. He lived in the presence of the Father. He got up early before the sun came up. At nighttime, when everybody was gone, He went into the hills to pray by Himself. Jesus spent so much time with the Father. And as He spent time in the Father's presence, He was strengthened by the Spirit. How we overcome temptation in the Christian life. Spend time with Christ in His presence, and I ask Him, Lord, strengthen me. Make me holy. Make me pure. Clean me inside out. Make my heart pure. As David said, make my heart blameless. Renew that right spirit in me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew that right spirit within me. That's what David prayed. Clean me from the inside out. So that's the principle. Call on the Lord. You know, we can only overcome temptation in the power of the Spirit. And we're filled with the Spirit and we spend that time alone in the presence of Christ. So principle number 1 is this. Consider the consequences of yielding to the temptation. Principle number 2, never expose your life to a situation where you know you're going to be tempted. Principle number 3, when the temptation is strong, focus your attention on the Word of God. In fact, focus your attention on the Word of God every day. Let your mind feed on the food of Scripture. Principle number 4, spend time in prayer. Spend time in quality prayer with Christ. Number 5, if you fail in your temptation, remember to immediately confess your sin and ask God to graciously forgive you. We all fail, don't we? We all say things we shouldn't say. Sometimes we all give into attitudes we shouldn't be giving into. Sometimes we follow affections we shouldn't be following. Sometimes we rebel against the Lord. We sin against God every single day. Now that's not an excuse to say, okay, well, if I sin against God every day, then I'm not going to live in victory. That's not true. If you sin against God, you need to confess that sin to the Lord as soon as it happens. If you get angry at your wife and you say something you shouldn't say to her, confess your sin to God, then go back to her and ask her to forgive you and ask God to forgive you and rededicate yourself to Christ in that area of your life. See, keep short accounts with God. You know, the problem with us in our relationship with the Lord is that we'll sin and we won't confess that sin, and then we don't confess sins maybe till 2 or 3 days later and we find ourselves out of fellowship with Christ. You should confess the sin as soon as you commit it, whether it's an evil thought, an evil attitude, an evil affection, a rebellion in your will, an evil action, whatever it is, confess your sin to the Lord. The promise is if we confess our sins, He's what? He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. And number six, the last principle, share your struggles with someone who is close to you. An accountability partner, a prayer partner. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 3 for a second. Listen, we need to encourage each other in the Christian life. We really do. I am so glad there's probably about 70 or 80 people here tonight. I honestly thought we were only going to have about... I said that to Tatiana. I bet you, sweetie, we're only going to have about 20 people here on Sunday night. It's Victoria Day weekend and it's so sunny. We're all going to be outside. But you know why you're here tonight? You're here to be encouraged, aren't you? You're here to be strengthened in the faith. So am I. I'm here to be encouraged and strengthened in the faith. And listen to what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. He says, "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." In order to prevent yourself from having that sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from God, verse 13 says, "But encourage in one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." We need to encourage one another, right? No, I need you to come to me when I do something wrong, and I need you to rebuke me. Because you love me. We need to build each other up. We need to hold each other to account. What is James saying? James 5:16, "Confess your sins one to another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." If you're struggling with a sin in your life, you need to get a person in your life that you can actually share that sin with and say, "Listen, I struggle with this area of my life, and I need you to pray for me, and I need you to keep me accountable in my life. I need you to become an accountability partner with me." It's good to have an accountability partner. Very, very good. Very important. Paul says to the Romans, he says, "I long to see you so that I may be mutually encouraged by your faith and you may be encouraged by mine." And so we struggle with temptation, friends. We do. Every single one of us in this room struggles with temptation. But remember, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through a knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are now slaves to righteousness. And in our struggle against sin, we need to think of these six principles. Number one, consider the consequences of saying yes to sin. Number two, don't put yourself in a bad situation where you know you're going to be tempted. Whatever it is in your life that's leading you astray, cut it out. Cut it out. Get rid of it. Just get rid of it. Don't even go down that road. You go down that road, you're going to be like that youth who lack judgment. That's exactly what you are. You're simple. You're acting like a simple man. You're not acting with wisdom. Get rid of it. Is it going to be hard? Sure it is. Jesus, you think it would be hard to pluck your eye out of your eye socket? You think it would be hard to cut your hand off? It would be very hard. It would be painful. Sometimes getting rid of those things that lead you astray can be as painful as that. It's the only way to have victory. Number three, focus your attention on the Word of God. Meditate on Scripture. Number four, spend time in prayer. Number five, if you fail, confess your sin. And number six, share your struggles with someone who loves you and cares for you and will hold you to account. The Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. I have an accountability partner in my life. I mean, my wife is my accountability partner. We encourage each other, but I also have a male friend, another pastor, and I've shared this with you every Tuesday morning. We call each other, we speak to each other on the phone for an hour, then we pray for each other. We keep each other accountable to make sure that we're walking that holy road that God has called us to walk. You need to get an accountability partner, a person who you can pray with and encourage you in your walk with Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you and praise you for your goodness. Thank you and praise you for the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you and praise you, Lord, for these great principles of your word. Your word is a light for our feet. It's a lamp for our path. Your word says that, Lord, we need to just listen to what you say, that we need to store up your commands within us. We need to say to you, your word to wisdom, "She is my sister." I pray for all of us in this room tonight who know the Lord Jesus, dear Father, you would give us the grace to love you and to serve you and to obey you and to walk with you. Father, we praise you that, as your word says in Romans chapter 8, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are no longer slaves to sin, Father. We praise you and thank you for that. I pray for that brother or sister in Christ tonight who is struggling with temptation, Lord, who maybe even now is struggling with an area of their life that they haven't surrendered to you. I pray, Father, that tonight they would say yes to you. pray that they would let go of that sin and walk in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit. That they would be, Lord, truly a conqueror in their lives. And Father, we'll give you glory and praise.